Why did I choose this topic? We are now in Srila Prabhupada Marathon. Probably you heard since a few weeks. Every week on Sunday we make some announcements that it's Srila Prabhupada Marathon. And what I wanted to speak about today is the tradition behind Srila Prabhupada Marathon. Because sometimes people might think, okay, maybe this was something Srila Prabhupada invented, you know, it's something that was never there. Srila Prabhupada invented something. But actually, there's a big tradition behind, and actually, all the time, our spiritual school, Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Sampradaya, was always established based on knowledge and later on books. So that's the thesis. So we'll just take we'll cruise through some events which happened in our Sampradaya. So we'll start with Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself. And we have Lord Chaitanya. He has mainly two methods of preaching. There's quite famous when he goes to South India. He has a preaching tour in South India. And wherever he goes, his preaching method is quite simple. It's like there's... I'll just read this text from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It says, Lord Chaitanya was always chanting Hare Krishna. He was not chanting Hare Krishna, actually. He was chanting Krishna, 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 Hare. This mantra. And whenever Lord Chaitanya would meet someone, he would request this person, please chant Hare Krishna. It was straightforward preaching. No beating around the bush. So he would everyone he met, he would ask them to chant Hare Krishna. And the amazing thing was that they would chant Hare Krishna. Probably if we go sometimes and on the streets and if we would ask everyone, please chant Hare Krishna, they were like, oh, what? What's this? So Lord Chaitanya was asking everyone to chant Hare Krishna, and they started chanting, and by the potency of Lord Chaitanya, they would experience instantly spiritual ecstasy. And then Lord Chaitanya would empower them and said, go back to your village and ask everyone to chant Hare Krishna. So it was mostly the preaching method when Lord Chaitanya was in South India. He would just go to everyone and say, "Yo, please chant Hare Krishna." And it was simple, no philosophy. Because somehow South India was a good environment and people would respond very easily. But also we see that Lord Chaitanya was sometimes preaching heavy philosophy. Whenever he met with scholars, of course, it's famous that Lord Chaitanya said, yeah, my spiritual master told me I'm a number one fool and I should just chant Hare Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya is saying that, but actually he's discussing heavy philosophy with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, with Prakashananda Sarasvati. So every time there is a need for philosophy, Lord Chaitanya is putting forward this philosophy. So you have two types of preaching. So this simple preaching, asking everyone to chant Hare Krishna, and when it's needed, he supports this request with philosophy. Okay, I'll... because there's many links in our Sampradaya, so I'll just skip many things, many parts. So next you have Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is practically inaugurating the door-to-door preaching. He's, one day Lord Chaitanya is calling for Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. And they are coming, and he tells them, I want you to go to every house, to every person, and ask them to chant Hare Krishna. So this is the order of Lord Chaitanya. And the method is also very simple. Lord Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, of course, they take the order of Lord Chaitanya, and they start going to everyone and asking them, please chant Hare Krishna. And of course, there are some funny details. They would have also plan B and plan C. So first they will say, kindly chant the holy names of Krishna. Please worship Krishna, because it is Krishna who is your only shelter, your only friend, and he is the supreme treasure of wealth in your life. So this was the first thing they would say. They had sometimes the Sankirtan devotees have mantras. They are using special texts. So that's something you can learn how to use. And if they said no, then he would fall on his hands and knees, and he would beg them. So sometimes we threaten people that we do like this just to make it very awkward. So they would fall down and said, "Please chant Hare Krishna." And if that didn't work, then he would pay full dandavat, and will be like, "Please chant Hare Krishna." And next plan was they would roll in the dust before them, and they would ask, "Please chant Hare Krishna." So quite you could imagine that we cannot do that in Ljubljana. If we tried to go to the center yesterday, we had an amazing Harinam. It was packed with people, and we could go there and ask people, please chant Hare Krishna, and they would say no, and then you'll go on your knees and like, please chant Hare Krishna, and then you'll be paying the full dandavat, and they will look like, oh my God, these people are crazy. Anyway, so that was Lord Nityananda's method of preaching. Very simple, just quite straightforward. Okay, but maybe we'll come back, we'll see if you have time. Maybe we come back to the preaching of Lord Nityananda. But, of course, Lord Chaitanya, at that time, Lord Chaitanya didn't write any books. Lord Nityananda didn't write any books. But Lord Chaitanya understood that there is a need to establish the philosophy also. Because some people are a bit more complicated, and they need a bit of philosophy to chant Hare Krishna. So then he instructs the six Goswamis to write books. So the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they write extensive books on the science of devotional service. We have many books. Srila Prabhupada has given us a few of these books. Nectar of Instruction, Nectar of Devotion. So we have many books written by the six Goswamis. Of course, they didn't look like our books today, because they used different technology for writing. But anyway, and then you have the six Goswamis. They did not take these books out of Vrindavan. And then you have the next generation. You have Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and Shyamananda Pandit, who are instructed, I think, by Jiva Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami, to distribute these books. So this is the beginning of book distribution. But of course, at this time, distribution of books meant, of course, that you have to copy the books by hand. they didn't have a printing press, they wouldn't do it like we do. Like we were like, oh, okay, we need Shish Upanishad. How many copies? 20,000. if we had have to print 20,000 Shish Upanishad at that time, we would have like 100 devotees writing every day for a few years to have 20,000 Shish Upanishad. So it was different technology. But so they took all the books of the Goswamis, they put them in a bullock cart, they put it in the, it looks like this treasury chest, which actually it was, and they had some guards, and they went to Bengal to distribute these books. And there's first problems encountered by the Sankirtan devotees, because not everything goes smooth when you want to distribute the books. So you have this king of Gopalpur. They passed to this. And this king, he had he was also the king and also the head of the local mafia. Some sort of mafia. And he had also an astrologer. And he was doing, he was professional. He had the astrologer services. So then this astrologer told him that through his kingdom will pass a great treasury. So the king said, okay, we have to have it. So they found where is the treasury and so on, and they found this big chest, and it's protected by guards, so it must be something valuable there. So at some point they attack and they get this big treasury, and then they bring it to the king, and king is like, yes. You know, and then it opens, it's like books. Anyway, according to the astrologer, was right actually, because this is really the biggest treasure we have, this these spiritual books, and those books written by the six Goswamis. So this was stolen by the king, and then he took Srinivasacharya quite some time to recover this treasury, but eventually he recovered them, and then he managed to continue distributing the books. So this is one part. Then we have Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, who writes a lot of books, and then we have his disciple, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan is known for writing his commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And there's another story, it's a very interesting story, about how this commentary is written. And it also has to do with a challenge on our sampradaya, which is quite common, you know, which Lord Chaitanya also heard from that we are just sentimentalists. This is a common sampradaya, that this Gaudiya sampradaya is not a bona fide sampradaya. It's not a bona fide spiritual school. And they were also challenging Lord Chaitanya. Why are you just chanting? Why don't you study Vedanta like serious people do? And this challenge was, and this was in the, there was the king of Jaipur, and he was a Gaudiya Vaishnava. But some devotees from the Shish Sampradaya were challenging that this Gaudiya Sampradaya is not bona fide, because you don't have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And also they were challenging that they were worshipping Govinda with Srimati Radharani. And they were challenging what's the scriptural background for this. So the king of Jaipur was forced to take Srimati Radharani off the altar and to give over the worship of the deities to the Sri Sampradaya. He was quite affected. So he sent a message to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur asking for help, guidance, what to do. There's this challenge to our school. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was quite old. He couldn't travel anymore. So he sent his disciple, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. So Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan came there and he said, look, but we don't need a commentary on Vedanta Sutra because Srila Vyasadev wrote a commentary on Vedanta Sutra and Lord Chaitanya accepts Srimad Bhagavatam as commentary on Vedanta Sutra, so there's no need for another commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So that's, of course, a perfect argument. But they were not willing to accept this. And they eventually challenged Baladev Vidyabhushan and said, you either come up with a commentary or you shut up. If you want to prove that you're a bona fide Sampradaya, you have to. And they give him 10-15 days, something like this. So it was quite a desperate situation. And then you have Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan going in front of the deity of Govinda and praying. What do you do when you are in such a situation? And he's praying in front of the deity, and the deity says, no problem, I will dictate, you just write. So that's what they did, and in a few days Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan wrote this Govinda Bhashya. And of course then he came and showed this commentary to these devotees and to the king, and everyone was like, okay, it's okay. it's quite a good commentary. Of course it's good because it was composed by Krishna himself. So then you have, next you have Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is also coming up at a point where people are, Gaudiya Vaishnavas are mostly Babajis. So and people don't take this very seriously. This is a common point. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is known among others for writing 100 books on 100 authorized books. So it's also at that point it's important. Was important that we show people that we are not some sentimentalists. We have heavy philosophy. Sometimes you might see we go for Harinam and people see chanting and dancing. What will they think? Oh, these are just a bunch of hippies, no? Some hippies. They're happy. They drink too much. Something, no? And then you have to establish, and also for intelligent people, you have to establish yourself, look, this is heavy philosophy. And then you bring them the philosophy, and then these hippies and these sentimentalists, and then they try to read the philosophy, and they're like, oh my God, this is too heavy. this is not some people who woke up yesterday with some ideas of chanting. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote 100 books to establish the actual Siddhanta, the actual teachings. And then you have Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. And his addition to our to all this picture is the printing press. He established actually three. He had, Of course, he had established 64 temples throughout India and a bit around. But he also established a printing press. And there was challenging, and he had a daily newspaper. And there was challenges like, why do you have a daily newspaper? And then he was responding like, if a city like Calcutta, I think like Calcutta, has five newspapers, and which describe what is happening in Calcutta, then for describing what's happening in Goloka Vrindavan, we can write a newspaper every second, you know. So like, okay. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj introduced this printing press because it's quite practical if you want, as I said before, if you want to print 20,000 Shish Upanishad, it's quite practical to have a printing press, otherwise you will just go nuts. Actually, I was just reading today when they started this Back to Godhead in the US, they had some very bad printing equipment, and it would last for 100 copies. You could print 100 copies, and this was also very half manual, and they would print 100 copies, and that's it. That was finished. So it's very important to have this printing press that you can print more books. Okay, so then you have, of course, Srila Prabhupada. And in his first meeting with Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he gets this instruction. He's not even introducing himself, and he gets the instruction that you are educated young man, please preach the message of Lord Chaitanya in English. And then, of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he gives him this instruction that the actual tool, the best tool to preach is printing books. There's this famous discussion which happened at Radhakund, I think. And devotees, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj had a temple, this marble temple. And he was very upset because the devotees were so much, their consciousness was so much about who will use this room, who will use that room. This my room is, I'm senior to you, so I have to have this room. You are lower, so you need that room. So Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj said, I wish to sell all this temple and just print books. Destroy. So then there's this famous. So I'll just read. Okay, just. So that was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. He went to the US with. He waited quite some time to print his first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And all he had when he went to the U.S. was 200 sets. Srila Prabhupada would do sets. He had three volume Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. So that's what he had. That's what he went to the U.S. with. And actually, Srila Prabhupada was the first book distributor in ISKCON. He was going to everyone. He was going to these libraries. He was going to these shops, and he would go and speak to people. Hi. I have these nice books from India. So he was doing this distribution by himself. So that's the mood of Srila Prabhupada. I'll just read some just from two room conversations. About this part. First is from Bombay. Srila Prabhupada says, this, our book distribution, is the most important task in our society. Therefore, I am giving so much stress and I'm working so hard on this because this is my life and soul according to the order of my Guru Maharaj. And by his grace, it is to some extent successful. And I took it seriously. I take it seriously still now. That is my life and soul. I never tried in India to construct big temples, or even in your country, we didn't. I never tried. But I was selling personally books. That is the history. So Srila Prabhupada's mood was always one of putting focus on books. Of course, temples, we're not against temples. We are here in a temple. But the focus of the temple is to support preaching. And there's... let's try this one also. There's from another conversation. He says, to be quickly recognized by Krishna, this is the shortcut process. Everyone likes shortcuts. So he never says those who are sitting in a secluded place meditating or chanting, doing nothing. He never said that. They are my very dear devotees. So Srila Prabhupada is criticizing, okay, you go somewhere and chant 64 rounds, 192 rounds, and then you are a great devotee. But those who are preaching, just like government, takes more care for the soldiers, especially when there is fighting. They are giving life for the state, so their comfort, first consideration. In the war field, enough supplies, anything the soldiers require. So that's the Srila Prabhupada's mood, one of preaching. Because it's compared to a war with Maya mostly. And on this war, it's a battlefield. So sometimes there's so many problems happening. But the people who have this mood of preaching, in spite of so many problems, Krishna will support them. Krishna will help them. And of course, our best tool of preaching is Srila Prabhupada's books. I will give you my personal experience. Probably some of you know this. I was living in Romania in some city, and there were some devotees there, and they had some programs. And for maybe 2 years, I went to the temple. I mean, I didn't go every week, but I would go sometimes on Sundays. Sometimes they had some preaching programs. And somehow, I liked the devotees. I mean, they were nice. I was doing yoga, and I thought they are nice. like Uddhava Mitra likes to say, they are nice, I am nice, we're all nice. So I was a bit in this mood somehow. And, they are doing some yoga, I am doing some yoga. So we're all doing yoga, so it's all good. So for quite some years, I was in contact with devotees, and I didn't take them seriously. Like many of the people we meet on the streets, don't take us seriously. If some people, happy people chanting, nice. I mean, it's not bad, but they don't take us seriously. And then by some... something. I was in vacation in some other city. They had a Hare Krishna center, and I went past their center, and they had the Bhagavad Gita in the window. And I passed once, twice. You know, it was really good location. It was by the river. I was just walking around. I was walking a few times, and then I finally went in and said, "Can I buy a Bhagavad Gita?" So they said yes. They're like quite so shocked, you know. Then I understood why they were shocked. So I said, Because I was in India before and I heard of Bhagavad Gita. So I said, okay, I need something to read. Okay, so let's try this Bhagavad Gita. Something to read. And then I read this, I remember it was by the river, they had some stairs. And I bought this Bhagavad Gita and went on the stairs. And I was like reading 50 pages on the stairs. Like, it was that kind of impact. And I was reading, I was like, my God, that's it. So, that's how I became a devotee, because otherwise, probably I wouldn't. And a few days after, maybe next day I started chanting, and very shortly, following everything. So, yeah, that's the idea that the thesis which I wanted to expound today was that all the time our sampradaya was established based on knowledge, and this knowledge is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. So that's why Srila Prabhupada wanted that we distribute our books, these books, first to ourselves, that we study these books, and that we distribute these books to others. And this is the tool which will automatically, Srila Prabhupada says in one letter that this will automatically expand the Hare Krishna movement. He says automatically. Of course, we need to have follow-up programs and so on. It's not. But if we distribute so many books, then people will automatically change their consciousness, which has already happened. There's His Grace Adi Purusha Prabhu quote this. There's this article from some normal newspaper, and this article says that everyone is a Hare Krishna. That's the thesis. That this is non-devotees speaking, and when you look into and what they are actually saying is that before Srila Prabhupada came to the West, nobody was talking about karma, reincarnation, yoga, being vegetarian. So these changes that happen in the society. So everyone is in some way affected by the Hare Krishna movement. When I grew up, nobody was a vegetarian. It was inconceivable. What's that? You would think, like sometimes people think today, you will die if you eat vegetarian food. Some people still think like that. But because so much books were distributing, then this effect is there in the society, even if some people don't become devotees. Okay. So that is maybe if you have a short question, someone or comment.
I'm just wondering, because you are doing also Sankirtan for so long now, what could be like your secret, what can make your consciousness right so that you go and do it in a way that is really, really pleasing to Srila Prabhupada?
What's the secret? The secret? I mean, for me, I'm not a natural Sankirtan devotee. I'm still really bad. I'm not a good Sankirtan devotee. For me, just to give you some info, first time after a few months in the Hare Krishna movement, I decided to quit my job and I went for training to the Budapest temple. So they didn't have time for me, so they were just kicked me out on the street. So I was distributing. I was staying like 6 hours per day, and I was distributing an average of 1 to 2 books per day. So you have to. I mean, this is serious. I'm not joking. So that's. But And I really didn't want to do this. But somehow I understood that Srila Prabhupada wants me to do this. So that's what kept me in this service. And of course, after I got better, I even distributed 5 books, you know, in a day. what really kept me in this service was that I understood that Srila Prabhupada really wanted me to do this. I really didn't want to do it. Sometimes, some days, I really don't want to do it. But it's the intelligence that keeps you, you know, like, I don't want to do it, but Srila Prabhupada wants me to do it. So what to do? This is my duty. What to do? Yeah, I don't want, no problem. So that's, I don't know, that's my secret.
So as I hear you, it's surrender. surrender your mind. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. No problem.